Take our seats as we come to the preaching of God's Word this morning. Scripture reading as it is found in the Epistle of James, James chapter 1, 19 through to the end of the chapter, verse 27. So hear now the Word of the Lord our God as it is recorded for us. Here in James chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 19, where we read, required to write as a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if a word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Amen, and may God add His blessing to the reading of His most holy, inspired, and inerrant Word this morning. And may God now bless the preaching of His Word. God's Word this morning, as we come to the proclamation and to the explanation of God's Word this morning. What I would like to do is, the passage of Scripture that we have read together, verses 19 through 27 of James chapter 1. And in particular, what I would like to do this morning is focus our attention specifically on verse 19, and technically verse 19a. Now, I thought I'd mention to you, this is the first time that this has happened to me, but midway through the sermon, if I don't think it's going too well, I have another sermon up here that Reverend Johnson left. So that's handy. You know, you're in the middle of it, you're thinking, oh, I don't know, I better switch gears, see if it's better than it was last week. So if you find that it seems like that's what happened, that maybe is what happened. No, what I want to do is I want to focus our attention here on James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, specifically, as I said, verse 19, under the heading, as you can see in your bulletin, the sermon outline there, the heading is Hearers and Doers of the Word. And the subheading really is a proper reception of the Word, because here in these verses that we have read together, in this portion of James, James is doing two things. There are two major truths that James focuses upon here in these verses. First of all, in verses 19 through 21, James focuses our attention on what we can refer to as a proper reception of the Word of God, as the Word of God. And having done that in verses 19 through 21, James then shifts his attention to a proper response to the Word that has been properly received. And this is what James does here in verses 22 through 27. But as I said, what I want to do is focus our attention on verse 19 specifically, and the words, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." Now here in James chapter 19, verses 19 through 21, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of James, as a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit draws our attention to, in verses 19 through 21, three attitudes that are necessary for believers, for you and for me, to rightly receive God's Word. to properly receive God's Word. And those three principles, those three attitudes that are necessary to properly receive God's Word are as follows. First of all, in verses 19 and 20, James essentially teaches us that if we are going to properly receive God's Word, there must be a willingness to receive the Word with an attitude of submission. Then in verse 21a, James teaches us, or we are to learn, that to properly receive God's Word, there must be not only this willingness to receive the Word with submission, but a willingness to receive it with purity. We're to lay aside all filthiness. We're to lay aside the overflow of wickedness in our lives. And then finally, having received God's Word with an attitude of submission and purity, verse 21b, we're to receive, there's to be a willingness to receive the Word of God with humility, receiving, and that's the central verb here, that's what this is all about, receiving with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. So those are the three attitudes that James deals with here in verses 19 through 21. There must be this willingness to receive God's Word with purity, with submission, with purity, and with humility. That's proper reception. That means that is how we properly receive God's Word. And then in verses 22 through 27, through the pen of James, the Holy Spirit then turns our attention to how we respond properly to the Word of God which we have received properly. And our proper response to the Word of God that we have received is dealt with in relation to ourselves, to others, and to the world in which we live. James' concern in verses 19 through, or in verses 22 through 27 is continuing in, as he says, the perfect law of liberty. Continuing in the perfect law of liberty and not being forgetful hearers. Those whom he refers to as hearers only who are deceiving themselves. And here the deception has to do with their profession of faith and the legitimacy or the genuineness of that profession of faith. So that is James's concern. We are to receive God's Word. And in receiving God's Word properly, we are to respond to it properly. And that proper response is in relationship to ourselves, to others, and to the world. In verses 22 through 26, James teaches us in relation to ourselves, there must be a willingness to apply the Word without deception. Then in verse 27a, in relation to others, there must be a willingness to apply the Word without selfishness. And then finally, in relationship to the world, verse 27b, there must be this willingness to apply the Word without compromise. Now, that gives us something of an overview. And this sermon, of course, is one sermon in a series of 26 sermons on the first chapter of James. 26 expositional sermons. And so, that would give us an overview, and that would indicate to you, if I were to continue to preach on these sermons in the weeks and months ahead, that's what we would be looking at. Properly receiving God's Word, properly responding to God's Word, and being willing in our proper reception of God, response to God's Word, to apply it to ourselves without deception, in regards to others without selfishness, and the world without compromise. But as I said, this morning here's what I want to do. I want to consider together the first attitude that is necessary for rightly receiving God's Word. And that is a willingness to receive it with submission. With an attitude, a submissive attitude to the Word as the Word of God. And therefore, a submissiveness to the Lord Himself. Not just in theory, but in practice. Not just in terms, as I'll emphasize, our confessional theology on paper, but our functional theology on the pavement of our lives. Because this is James's concern throughout this book. The testing of the genuineness of our faith in the day-to-day reality of life in this world. So here in these words, in verses 19 through 21, in verse 19 and 20, we learn that the believer who willingly receives the Word of God with an attitude of submission will do so being swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. These are three commandments in the Greek language. And as I like to say, these are three deceptively simple commandments. And when I say they're deceptively simple, what I mean by that is this, that there's really nothing complicated here. There's really nothing confusing here. There's really nothing that is hard or difficult to understand. If we are going to properly receive God's Word with an attitude of submission to the Word of God, as the Word of God, we must be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And this morning, all I want to look at is this first commandment, the need to be swift to hear. Or, as some translations have it, quick to listen. And so our first point this morning, as you can see it there, is, so then this you know. And so it's important for us to focus, to begin with, as we study carefully God's Word, these first two words here at the beginning of chapter 9, verse 19 of chapter 1. In the New King James Version, the Greek words are translated, so then. See those words there? So then. Other translations translate the original language like this. Know this, or this you know. I prefer the translation, this you know. What? See, that's the question. That's how we study God's Word. What is it that we know? That's the question we should be asking. Because our response to the Word of God, our reception of the Word of God, is based upon this something we know. As we have in the New King James Version, it's not a bad translation. It can be, so then, in light of. That might be a better way of putting it. We'd have to put some italicized words in there, because the in light of isn't in the Greek language. But, so then, in light of, well, what has come before? This phrase refers back to the truths that James has just expressed, specifically in verse 18 here. First, there's the general truth. The general truth of the power of the Word in regenerating believers in the early church and making them entirely new creatures in Christ Jesus. So then, in light of this truth, knowing this, that God the Father of lights, of His own will, brought you forth by the word of truth, knowing this, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's the first general truth. And then there's a second subsidiary truth, the marvelous truth, that believers, having been brought forth by the word of truth, according to the will, the deliberate will, the sovereign will of God, there's a subsidiary truth that they are now new creatures in Christ Jesus, the first fruits of His creatures. The idea there in Scripture is of the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth, this redemptive work of God where He's redeeming all things so that one day Christ returns. The new heaven and new earth, there will be shalom. There will be harmony. There will be peace. Things will be working exactly as they're intended to work. That's the new creature. So this you know, James says. You know these things. From the apostles' teaching as well as from their own experience, James is indicating that as believers, they knew what it was to be transformed by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God and given eternal life in the very family of God as His children. This you know. If your profession of faith is a genuine profession of faith, that you actually possess what you profess, then you will know this. You will have experienced this. You will know what I'm talking about. As the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, unless you are born of the Spirit, unless you are born of Spirit, water and Spirit, born from above, born of God, you cannot see the kingdom of God, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And James is saying, this you know this. If you are a believer, if you are a true believer, you know what I'm talking about. You have experienced this sovereign, gracious, almighty, recreative work of God. You have been brought forth according to the Father of Light's own will by the word of truth. So, we need to be practical, don't we? When in the preaching of God's Word. And if I'm studying God's Word and as a minister and I'm studying, preparing for a sermon, I have to be asking myself the question, all right, fine, Daryl. You just expounded the text. You've just studied it to discern what it exactly says and what it means. And now you have to ask yourself the question, do you? We have to all ask ourselves that question. Do we know what James is talking about? Do we know in our own lives this reality of being brought forth by the word of truth? Before going any further, we have to ask that question of application. Do I know? Have I experienced? Has God begun this work within me? Has He quickened me together with Christ Jesus? Am I now spiritually resurrected? Has He given me new life, bringing me forth, giving birth to me spiritually through the Word of Truth? This is a central, fundamental, kindergarten, ABC level truth of Scripture. That God is the one who begins the work within us. And that is a work that He has promised to bring to completion, and is on the basis of His regenerating grace that we now begin to work out our new life in Christ Jesus. And that's what the book of James is really all about. Working out on the pavement of our lives the truth that we may have on the paper of our confessions. And then having said this, knowing this, this you know, James makes somewhat of a transition in his emphasis. And because we have experienced the transforming power of God, because we have been made new creatures in Christ Jesus, James turns his attention to the truth that we are then to continually submit. And there's the fundamental principle, the spirit of submission that we're dealing with in receiving God's Word. We are to continually submit to God's Word, allowing it to continue its divine work in and through our lives. I think that is fundamentally the governing principle of conduct that is found here in the book of James, that is to be found in our lives of faith. We are to be continually submissive to God, to God's Word, allowing it to continue its divine work in and through our lives. Isn't that really the fight of faith, isn't it? The struggle to really, truly understand what God says to us in His Word and to take some of the personal insult. I mean, the book of James is a very difficult book. It's a difficult book to read, to study. It is a difficult book to preach because James is in your face, up in your face all the time with regards to, well, this is what you say you believe, but wait a second. If you say you believe that, how in the world can you be living like that? If you say that the Word of God is your only rule of faith, how in the world can there be such a disconnect between what you say you believe and how you're living? And that's the battle, that's the struggle of faith. Here in James chapter 1, we know that this is all about the Word of God, and this is really all about our receiving of the Word of God and our responding to the Word of God, because we find in verse 18, first of all, the Gospel, the Word of God is referred to as the Word of Truth, by which we're brought forth. In verse 21, it's referred to the implanted Word, that seed of the Word that is planted in our hearts and in our lives. Verse 22, then, it's simply the Word. Verse 23, it's figuratively a mirror that we're supposed to observe ourselves in and not forget who we are. And then in verse 25, it's the perfect law of liberty. I point that out so that we clearly see that there can be no doubt that this portion of James chapter 1 is all about the Word of God specifically and how true believers receive the Word of God and respond to the Word of God. Confessionally and functionally. On paper and on the pavement of our lives. How are we responding to the Word of God that we are to be receiving? That's the question James, in his very pointed way, is asking in this wisdom literature of life. So we know that the teaching of Scripture is clear. Scripture is not only given to bring men to salvation, that is to say, to justification, but rather it is for all of life. It's profitable, Paul says, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It's profitable so that the man of God in our hands to get the job done, but rather it is the tool that God uses in our lives to bring us more and more into conformity with the likeness of Jesus Christ, that we might then be tools or instruments in His hands, the hands of our Redeemer. In other words, it's the Word of God that God uses so that we might be of use to Him, that we might be useful. Heaven, the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus, producing the righteousness of God, this production of eyes. So by the continual, faithful hearing of the life-giving light, our divinely indwelled hearts are stimulated to obey the word. The psalmist David in Psalm 19. The law of the Lord, or the testimony of the Lord, is sure. The commandments of the Lord are pure, because they restore the soul. They make wise the simple. Ever, O Lord, they are the joy of my heart. Have been made new creatures in Christ. We are to continually submit, knowing this, my beloved brethren, he says, pointing out, letting them know that He has for them. Their beloved brethren,